fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
Your friends don't play fantasy? LOL. What a bunch of nerds.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Fantasy football today, another off-season podcast. Second one this week. And I am in Fort Lauderdale in person with Dave, Chris, and Heath.
You know how we
get away, get away, get away,
that
get
Adam's
away,
here.
Get away.
I'm standing up. I'm walking right over to Adam.
I hate this.
Hi, buddy.
I hate this.
Come here, give me a kiss.
Dave gave me a kiss. Yeah, he legit gave me a kiss on the head yesterday.
Come on. You're like my little brother.
Extremely weird.
At least let me have your wallet.
You are an only child. If you had a brother, you think you would kiss him? Because I've never kissed my brother.
You've never kissed David.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you've been alive.
I was like a little kid.
I took your wallet. I feel bad.
So all right, I'll have it back. Thank you.
We should definitely play keep away with Adam's wallet.
How we doing, Heath?
Fantastic. Well rested. Had a very nice...
By the way, that was the whole... Sorry to interrupt, but like that was the whole point of me coming over pretending to give you a kiss.
Steal my wallet.
Oh,
okay, good.
Yes.
Well done.
Heath, tell me more about your holidays.
14-hour travel day yesterday. That involved a layover in Atlanta. Very nice
airport. He walked home from Kansas.
Atlanta is a good airport to have a layover in.
Yeah, there's no such thing. And then...
That's true.
Hour-long wait for the transportation bus to get me to my car. And then as soon as the bus got there, it ran into another car. And
what?
An
really?
Accident, yeah.
Oh, man.
So it was a fun day. But no, it real America.
Happy 2017.
Real America was great.
Real America.
Glad to be back here, though.
What? Real America?
Yeah.
So you're saying South Florida is not real America?
Well, it's near the coast.
The heartland.
Okay.
It's real America.
I think anywhere in America is real America.
Yeah, we're not going to offend, you know, coastal America here. And Steelers, Chiefs, second round, who wins? Sorry, Dolphins.
Whoa.
Well, yeah. Not...
No, you never have. Given you so many chances to be a Dolphins fan. You're like, whatever, I don't care.
He's definitely a Dolphins fan. I would assume it will be the Steelers, assuming that nobody gets hurt against the Dolphins.
Okay. So we had a draft. We did a mock draft yesterday. Because that's what we do here. We just love to mock draft. And it was interesting. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to give you some DFS advice. Playoff challenge, if you're doing that on NFL.com, we can give you advice for that. I've been doing some drafts against listeners. I'm going to challenge Heath right now to a head-to-head contest on the draft app. And Heath is excited about it. Let's start out previewing this week's games and talking about DFS. And let me ask you this. Who is the number two running back this week behind Le'Veon Bell?
Is it Lamar Miller by default?
I personally have been preferring Latavius Murray.
Are we talking about for DFS? Or just
no, if
for
you were just
week?
Doing rankings.
Yeah, if I was just doing rankings, I think it would have to be Lamar Miller.
Yeah, you have to assume the ankle is not really an issue at this point. It sounded like he could have played either of the last two games if they really needed him to, so you have to assume he's healthy.
I don't know if that would have been the case two games ago, mm-hmm. but I think last week for sure. And I think 2 weeks of rest typically will make a running back fresher, and he's playing at home. Latavius makes me so nervous because of all the workload. He's losing the catches that he had earlier this season several weeks ago.
He's got Connor Cook as his quarterback.
Yeah, Houston's but defense
they said,
is better at
but
home.
But Jack Del Rio came out and said he was – so yeah, angry yeah. with the carry. So I figure,
but it's he's not going to get to
15.
Maybe
carries.
Yeah, for Latavius.
I'd say touches.
Let me tell you something. I think you can make a case for almost any running back in these games to be behind Le'Veon Bell as number two. Even Ajayi. I think
we
you
still haven't
make
mentioned my number two as far as DFS goes. So
who? Paul Perkins.
Paul Perkins, pretty good.
I think I think it depends on where you play.
We'll I have Perkins in my FanDuel lineup.
I do too.
Yeah, I do too.
But the problem with him is he has not scored one touchdown all year, and it seems like when they get close to the goal line,
and
if they rush for a touchdown, it's
Green Bay is strongest up front on defense.
You've got the wrong Giants running back in your lineup on FanDuel.
You think Rashad Jennings is better?
Jennings
he has to score though.
Jennings is he's 500 cheaper than Perkins.
Yeah, he is.
And Jennings is 100 more expensive on DraftKings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's just such a strange thing. And you could say, well, that's because it's PPR, but Perkins isn't catching the ball.
Never.
It's still Jennings doing that.
Yeah.
And if this is a game where they're playing from behind, I don't know if Perkins gets all that work. I like Perkins better on DraftKings, but not FanDuel.
So all right, we've talked about Le'Veon Bell. I think he is worth the cost in FanDuel. Did you guys find that? Because he is so expensive. Kind of have to get him in your lineup.
I don't know how you can win this week without him.
Right? He's so much better than every other running back. There are two wide receivers that seem like they should be just fine. Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham, right?
Mm-hmm.
What about Jordy Nelson, guys? I don't know if he will be shadowed by Janoris Jenkins. He caught a touchdown in the first meeting. The Giants' secondary was kind of banged up in the first meeting. Do you feel okay about Jordy Nelson and or Devontae Adams this week?
I think if you're going to spend that much on a receiver, you might as well go for one of the other two, Brown or Beckham.
You just like the matchups more.
But just generally speaking, do you think Jordy Nelson has a typical Jordy game or toned down?
I have no problems at all playing Jordy Nelson. In fact,
he's been so unstoppable.
My lineup is a little bit of a Giants-Packers stack.
Oh, yeah?
I think it's a very about
the weather,
game.
But the weather there, I feel like, could make it a little low. Like the Packers-Texans game in Lambeau, which was frigid. And
involved the Texans.
That's the thing, is that I feel like that was more about Brock. Like the Packers,
didn't play that well.
I thought they scored 27
points. He got
a
late touchdown to Devontae Adams, I think. Or maybe it was Jordy Nelson. So he had like 19 fantasy points with 6 points per passing touchdown leagues.
Yeah.
I think you got to get some Steelers in your lineup. I mean, that's the team that I really want. Who is a big – I think you can make a case for the Seahawks.
The Steelers-Dolphins game does have the highest over-under right now, so that helps.
Heath and I are drafting right now.
I feel like there's three – you're really doing this right now.
Did you notice what I did?
No. Did you take away some of the games?
Are you ready to make your first pick?
I don't know. I'm looking for Le'Veon Bell. Where
He's
the hell
there.
Is he?
He's
Why?
Not there.
What did you do?
You have an option to do an expert draft where it takes away the five best players.
Wow.
And so, I thought, you know, we're experts, so we should do an expert draft, right?
Oh, my God. Five best players at each position?
Yes.
Oh.
So what are you doing at quarterback?
Brock Osweiler, Connor Cook, Matt Moore.
There's a lot of strategy now.
It's got to be Matt Moore.
Yeah, it's going to be. I'm going to take. Am I going to take Matt Moore?
This sounds like torture.
It's got to be Matt Moore.
It's going to be awesome.
Brutal.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Is Matt Moore going to be my first? No, he's too bad for me to be my first pick. No, Matt Moore. Jeez. Okay, so, sorry. Big games for who this week? Who do we like this week, Dave?
I think the two stacks that you could look at for daily fantasy and feel good about are going to be the Giants and the Steelers. Yep. Steelers obviously at home against Miami, such a good matchup for them. And then the Giants figure they're going to have to throw a lot against the Packers.
And that Packers secondary is really
banged
bad.
Up, really and bad. It's huge.
The Giants have scored 19 or fewer points in five straight games.
I know.
Their offense is bad.
How many of those were against the Packers secondary?
I think there's something about them that can turn it up this week.
They scored 13 points against the Redskins.
But that's the chance you
have
to take.
Bad defense.
That's the chance you're going to have.
What about the Seahawks? What about Russell Wilson?
I think that offense is in worse shape.
Then the Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Steelers make sense, right? They should dominate.
Like, I think that's the safe play.
Yeah.
Is the Steelers. And maybe you can make a case. What would the Seahawks stack be? You'd go with Wilson. You'd go with Baldwin. You'd go with Graham.
Graham always scores at home.
And then do you have enough left over to have Le'Veon Bell in there as well?
Yes. I have my FanDuel lineup has Le'Veon Bell.
All right. Well, let me point this one thing out. The Packers defensive backs, they have four corners who have played at least 25% of their defensive snaps. Micah Hyde leads the group with a 98.4 passer rating allowed. Everyone else is above 100.
They stink. I get it, but
Rollins has allowed a 135.4 passer rating in coverage.
And he got hurt. Okay. I don't even think he's going to play.
So the backup, the guy who couldn't beat him out.
And Demarius Randle got hurt last week, too. I get it. All right, I understand that. So here's my FanDuel lineup. Roethlisberger, Bell, Perkins, Shepard. Sorry, I should do it more by position. Roethlisberger, Bell and Perkins, Beckham, Shepard, and Golden Tate, Ladarius Green, Nick Novak, and the Texans DST.
Now, here's the thing. You were just telling us about how bad the Giants' offense is. Now you have two of their receivers.
Had to do it because of Le'Veon.
Odell Beckham's 8,900.
Couldn't afford Antonio Brown for 2,000 more. Unless I went down to Russell Wilson. If I went down to Russell Wilson, which I think is not a bad idea this week,
okay,
you can afford more.
With a full Giants stick. In fact, I think the Giants are going to beat the Packers.
I've been hearing that.
I don't get it.
I've been hearing that.
Aaron Rodgers.
Eli Manning Paul Perkins and Le'Veon Bell. I think, do we all have Paul Perkins and Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah.
A lot of my lineups.
Okay. Wide receiver, I've got Odell Beckham, Jordy Nelson, and Sterling Shepard.
Okay.
Tight end, I've got Jesse James, the outlaw.
The road dog.
And then Nick Novak and the Raiders defense.
So I have Ladarius Green and Golden Tate, you and Ben Roethlisberger. You have Eli Manning,
Jordy Nelson,
and Jesse James. And I have the Texans, you have the Raiders. All right, anybody else want to share their DFS lineups?
I have a somewhat similar one to Heath. I've got Eli Manning, Le'Veon Bell, Paul Perkins, Odell Beckham. I've also got Amari Cooper, who's only 6,500, Golden Tate, Jared Cook, Robbie Gould, and the Oakland Raiders defense.
Dave, what do you think about the Raiders receivers? Are they going to fall into production?
I think there's a stack that can be made. I think you just have to go out of your way. If you're going to start them, you might as well go with Connor Cook and kind of YOLO.
Why? I mean, what about what Chris did? He takes Amari Cooper at a huge discount, thinking, what do you expect?
It's going to look
50 yards and a touchdown, maybe?
It's going to be a really hit or miss game, but he's the kind of guy that can take one screen pass to the house, and there's only eight teams playing. You have to pick somebody. I'll take someone with his kind of ability at 6,500.
The guy that I have in most of my lineups is Kenny Stills.
He's
5,000 on FanDuel. I think he's 3,800 on DraftKings. So I almost feel like that's the free square.
I will say in playoff leagues, if you're doing a snake draft, the Raiders are going to go really late. If you're doing a salary cap, the Raiders are going to be really cheap. I kind of think there's a decent chance that they beat Houston.
I think those players get two games.
Yeah. And so I think you see Amari Cooper, Latavius Murray, Michael Crabtree going way, way, way. The one I just finished up, they were the last. There was no team drafted from the Raiders, and we'd had like eight Patriots drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you did what a playoff challenge? Or what?
No, this was just a separate private
draft
by text.
Ooh, private league. Fancy.
Yeah, you weren't. It was kind of like the Scott Fish Bowl. You weren't invited.
I think my favorite lineup is a Giants stack, where I'm going to go Eli at quarterback, Le'Veon and Rashad Jennings. This is on
you guys are really overestimating the Giants.
Rashad Jennings at running back, Odell, Sterling Shepard, Doug Baldwin at receiver, Jimmy Graham at tight end. So I got a little bit of the Seahawks in there too.
Right.
And then Novak and the Texans D.
Baldwin should be good.
Yeah.
I think Golden Tate should be good.
What do you guys think? I don't know about Tate.
So, okay, without Earl Thomas, the last two times the Seahawks have faced good passing offenses, I think their last four games have been the Packers, the Rams, the Cardinals, and the Niners. So forget about the Rams and the Niners, right? The last two times they faced a good passing offense, they got lit up by Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams had a big game, Jordy Nelson, I think, caught two touchdowns, and then J.J. Nelson had a huge game for Arizona, and Arizona scored over 30 points. So I think Tate is fine. Dave, what do you think?
I think he's okay, too. I understand where you're coming from on this. And, yeah, the secondary is a little more susceptible to
We've
the
seen
big
it
play.
All year. If a wide receiver gets a lot of targets against Seattle, they usually do
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, they usually break through.
Yeah.
The one problem I see is that Seattle's going to know Golden Tate really well. They're going to know that he's the number one option.
But they knew who the other option was, Brandon Marshall was. They knew.
Is this?
They knew Nelson was.
Can a case be made for Ebron here with those safeties not playing?
Yeah.
Is that the number two guy for when there's extra coverage headed toward Golden Tate?
Maybe.
I don't think Seattle has a cakewalk here.
I think
they
Bolden
struggle a little bit. The one thing that worries me about Bolden is I think he's got a broken something.
He's like 117. Something's broken.
But yeah, the thing is, one of his hands.
Tate doesn't line up in the slot as much as I think we might assume he does.
Not
he's
as much
only
as
run
used
about
to, for
26%
sure.
of his snaps out of the slot, and that's where you want to attack the Seahawks if you get the opportunity.
Any final DFS thoughts? You guys want to talk about the NFL.com playoff challenge? I guess people are doing that.
Is the rule in that you can have as many transactions as you want throughout the playoffs?
Yes, but here's how it works. It took me a while to figure this out. You can take, let's say, the Patriots this week, right, or Tom Brady this week. I have the Patriots DST. You get no points, obviously, this week. But next week, you get double the points. So if Brady scores 20 points next week, you get 40 for it. It depends on how many weeks you've had him in your lineup. And if they win, if they beat the Texans or Raiders, which they will, you get triple his points in the NFC, in the AFC Championship game. And then if he's still playing in the Super Bowl and you've had him in your lineup for 4 weeks, you get quadruple the points.
Huh.
So
I like that format.
You can, but you can go with Roethlisberger this week and then Brady next week if, let's say, the Steelers lose or something like that.
But you lose the multiplier.
And you, right. But you get the multiplier in the AFC Championship game for Brady if you have him for two straight weeks. You just get double instead of triple.
I've got a DFS thought for this week.
All right.
You should make your next pick.
All right.
Come on, you're supposed to be hosting a podcast and doing a draft at the same time and bragging about how well you're doing it. No one even notices you're doing it.
Okay, I'll take...
I mean, I think in that playoff challenge, it makes the Steelers even that much more valuable. Because they're the team that I expect to get all the way to the AFC Championship.
Yeah, but I think the Patriots have a pretty easy path to the Super Bowl. So that's quadruple their Super Bowl points.
No, triple, because they don't have a first game.
But you get round two, triple in round three,
so
quadruple
in round
four.
So you pick them in round one and just take zero from them?
Yes, and then your payoff
if they make the Super Bowl, you get 9 weeks worth of value.
Yeah,
I don't think you'll make up for that zero the first week.
If you expect them to get to the Super Bowl, you would. But if you don't, then no. But if you expect the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, I expect them to be very popular in these playoff challenges because they'll get four games, and you'll get by the time they're in the
Super
Bowl.
But the Giants are going to the Super Bowl.
They might.
We all know the Giants are going to the Super Bowl.
They won't. Did I make my pick?
Yeah, they were really bad, too. I liked them.
These players are terrible at this point. You have DeAndre Hopkins on your team. Your team sucks.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to have a good week.
Yeah, I went between stinks and sucks there. All right, guys. Let's review our mock draft. And Will had the first pick. I had the second pick. Chris Towers had the third pick. Dave had the ninth pick. Jamie had the seventh pick, by the way. And Heath did not pick. He was not.
He was in an airport.
No, I was invited.
I know.
In fact, I thought because I was invited, I could get into the league, but I was kicked out of the league because I didn't draft. So now I'm just, whenever you guys tell me about something that happened, I'm going to tell you how dumb it was.
You can react.
Yes.
All right, so let's start with this.
Oh, crap.
I'm going to tell you.
I made a big mistake drafting against Heath.
Jordan Howard, where would you expect to draft him?
I would expect that Jordan Howard next year is going to go early in the second round.
10th overall.
That's not bad. I don't think that's terrible.
You would endorse that. And I'm not saying I'm not.
Can you give me the three or four running backs that went right after Jordan Howard?
There were six in the first round, I believe.
But right, he was
the last of six.
Okay, who were the guys that went, running backs that went in the second round?
Well, I thought we
are we
going to
skip
it?
Let's do the first round first. Okay. So David Johnson went first. This was standard scoring. Two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, flex, kicker defense, and one quarterback. 12 teams. Standard scoring, David Johnson won. I took Ezekiel Elliott over Le'Veon Bell, too.
Ooh.
Dumb.
Ooh.
No, I think it was uber safe. And in PPR, I would have taken Bell. And in standard, I'd take Elliott. Le'Veon Bell, 3. I'm not going to say that. Bell would have been a bad pick at 2, by the way. So Chris took Bell. Chris, if you had the second pick, would you have taken Bell or Zeke?
Probably Bell.
All right. Odell Beckham went 4 ahead of Antonio Brown for some reason.
Who did that?
Marone.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you something. This was the hardest draft we've ever done because we didn't have any rankings to go off, and our draft room only had players who were in the playoffs. So
yeah, for the projections.
So any team that was out of the playoffs... like LeSean McCoy was not in the draft room in the production.
But you could sort it by stats, right?
No.
You couldn't sort it by...
Only for playoffs.
I think it only sorted 2015 stats.
It made it great really for hard. People that do this 24/7, 365.
Yeah, so I was looking at the stats and looking at the finishers and and teams that weren't in the playoffs. I would search for them and queue players up, whatever. All right, anyway, so Johnson, Elliott, Bell, Beckham, Brown... LeSean McCoy, 6. Jamie took Julio, 7. Devontae Freeman went 8th. AJ Green, 9 to Dave. Jordan Howard, 10 to Scott. The first of 5 consecutive running backs for Scott to start his team.
That's we'll Scott White.
Look at that team. Rob Gronkowski, 11.
Woo!
Mike Evans, 12.
Now, Gronk in the first round, I think, I do not believe we will see that very often
there,
at all.
There's no way I can take Gronk in the first round.
I don't think any of us are, but I am going to love watching Heath react live to all of these picks.
Yes.
That is
the whoop that you just made.
That is Joe Polito's strategy, though. He's the one who took Gronk first. He loves taking tight ends early.
I think if if Gronk is healthy, I mean, I asked this to Dave and Jamie. We said second round, I think, on Monday. But if he's healthy and let's say he has a – let's say he's going to play by week one. Maybe he's a little limited in training camp, a little limited in preseason.
No.
You wouldn't take him in – when would you take him?
If he's limited in training camp, not before the third.
I'm pretty sure.
No, but limited in training camp with the thought that they're easing him back in, but he is going to play week one.
I would like to just hear him be – if I'm taking him in the second round, he better be fully healthy in training camp.
There's no way you're taking him in the first round.
No.
All right.
I need to – I believe the stretch that he was healthy, which, you know, wasn't very long, but week 5 to week 10, I believe he led the NFL in receiving yardage.
Who?
Rob Gronkowski.
Rob Gronkowski? yeah, he was amazing. He was awesome for his like 4 healthy games.
Can we have an interlude real quick so you guys can judge our teams?
You're going to kill. Actually, I don't know if you're going to kill
him. I'm only a 10-point favorite.
That's a lot. Five players.
So, Dave.
Sorry, yeah. Gronk was second in receiving yards with 529 from week 5 to week 10. He did have a bye in that span, I believe. So,
Team A.
Wow.
Osweiler, Latavius, Paul Perkins, DeAndre Hopkins, Devontae Adams. Osweiler, Murray, Perkins, Hopkins, Adams.
Where the hell are we? What is
I know. We've
Team
skipped
B,
around a little bit.
Matt Moore, Thomas Rawls, Rashad Jennings, Sterling Shepard, Amari Cooper.
Team A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even with Osweiler.
He's got to win. All right. So listen. Listen. We got a little distracted. Let's focus in on this mock draft. Talk about it. I'm going to read round one again. David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, Le'Veon Bell, Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, LeSean McCoy, 6, Julio Jones, 7, Devontae Freeman, A.J. Green, Jordan Howard, Rob Gronkowski, Mike Evans. All right, we're on to round two here. We didn't love the Gronk pick in round one, but a lot of people maybe take him in round two. Round two is T.Y. Hilton, Jordy Nelson. How on earth does Jordy Nelson go 14th overall? Why am I the only person who believes that Jordy Nelson is incredible?
You're not. He is incredible, but
he does not get the respect for his fantasy production.
Probably so.
Definitely so.
He was the number one wide receiver by a huge margin from like week 8 on. But
he was number one. He and Mike Evans.
And he finished number
tied.
One. Yeah. But he's going to be 32, so it's not crazy to think that he might slow down. I think it feels dumb to say that after the season that we just saw him have, but. I don't know.
Is it likely that he's going to have another season with 13-plus touchdowns?
No.
I think so. I think around there, because Aaron Rodgers is going to throw a ton of touchdowns, he's his favorite guy. Now, he sort of changed this year because he became a red zone guy, whereas he was more of a big play guy in previous seasons. Nelson got a lot more short yardage touchdowns this year. I think he's going to be healthier next year. Second year back from the ACL, you should be better.
But, it's just hard at 32 to say he's going to be healthier.
And the fact that he'll have to be a little slower.
I don't know.
He's going to be 32.
I don't think turning 32 automatically means you're going to be slower.
I think
there's
a little slower this year.
He was because of the ACL. He said he's not fully back. They expect him to be fully back next year.
Would it surprise you if he had a year like he had in 2013? 85 catches, 13, 14, and 8. So his catches would be down. His yards would be up from this year.
That
he only had 12, 57, and 8 touchdowns. That
I think
would
the 13 yards per reception is probably about where he lives now.
Mm-hmm. 10 touchdowns or more.
I think 10 is not a bad number. But if you give him 10 touchdowns this year, he falls like wide receiver 5 or 6.
Yeah, we can say that about anybody.
A lot of receivers didn't deliver like everybody thought they would. Weren't there only two receivers with exactly 200 fantasy points, and Jordy was one of them?
I don't like T.Y. Hilton over Jordy, but I think where Jordy was taken is about right.
All right. Melvin Gordon goes after Jordy Nelson, third pick of round two. So would you have taken Melvin Gordon or Jordan Howard?
Probably Jordan Howard.
Okay.
I would have also taken Jordan Howard.
DeMarco Murray to Dave in round two. And then I don't know how I feel about these next two picks. Todd Gurley, Jay Ajayi. Middle of round two.
I think Todd Gurley and Jay Ajayi probably should go about near each other.
In the middle of round two?
Yeah.
Maybe at the end.
I mean, the next running back off the board is Lamar Miller. I took Mark Ingram in round three. I'd rather have him than both of those guys.
I think I'd rather have Miller than both those guys. I don't think I'd rather have Ingram. It is a situation where if you feel you have to take a running back, those are probably the guys.
But who are the wide? Like, I feel like there's wide receivers that should be taken.
Well, there are many then, receivers. Though, I think there's only one wide receiver after that that you feel is a slam dunk number one.
Yeah, here's the rest. So round two is Hilton, Jordy Nelson, Melvin Gordon, DeMarco Murray, Todd Gurley, Jay Ajayi, Dez Bryant, Lamar Miller, DeAndre Hopkins. Hated that pick. Amari Cooper to Chris. I took Aaron Rodgers because I just didn't really like...
You didn't like anybody else, so that's when you went quarterback.
Yeah, Brandon Cooks, the last pick of round two.
Yeah, I think it's Dez Bryant as the last guy that you feel good about at wide receiver, and then I think there's a big drop-off.
And the thing that's going to change, so like there will be two or three of these guys. I would take Amari Cooper over that set of running backs.
Dave, what are you thinking here for Gurley and Ajayi in the middle of round two? Right after you took DeMarco Murray.
I think this is where you're going to see Ajayi end up. I think you're going to see him settle in there because people are, you know, they get goo-goo eyes over the 200-yard games that he had. The assumption is going to be that the Dolphins use him as their lead back next year and that the offense takes a step forward with Adam Gase in his second year.
But would you take him there? I had more of a problem with Gurley than Ajayi.
I think it's really going to depend on what I did in round one. I don't know if I'm going to target Ajayi unless I got a receiver in round one and I like the receivers that I think will be there for me in round three and I know that I need to get a running back to get some balance on my roster.
These two
and then
guys,
I'll settle for Ajayi. But I think right now it's a no-brainer to take Ajayi ahead of Gurley.
They're both guys that what their team does over the next 3 or 4 months is really going to impact where they're drafted. Because Ajayi is probably going to lose at least one, maybe two offensive linemen heading in next year from this group. If they replace those guys with guys that we really think are good offensive linemen, then he's going to go in the second round. Yeah. If they don't, he probably falls to the third, and
Gurley's impossible to value. No idea.
But how he will be valued will be greatly dependent on what the Rams do with their offensive line. If they go out and add a couple offensive linemen in free agency or draft one, and we really think the offensive line is going to be better, he'll probably be drafted in the second round. If they don't do anything, he might be a fourth rounder.
You want to hear the craziest theory I've heard so far in the young offseason? Gurley gets traded, and that the Rams use him to acquire another pick.
Yeah.
And they admit a mistake from him. I think there were some people there that might not be happy with
as long as they don't trade him to the Colts, I'm okay with it.
And it's not like they're going to get a first-round pick. I think they might end up having to settle if they actually make
the You could get a second for him, though.
Maybe.
Yeah, an offense built around Todd Gurley and Jared Goff does not look super great.
But if they're going to rebuild the whole thing and overhaul it, the one spot where you can go and find a guy is that running back. And so you can acquire an asset in the draft by trading Gurley. One thing I've heard.
So we got Chris and I sat next to each other yesterday and drafted next to each other. I had the second overall pick and second to last in round two. Chris had third overall pick, and obviously back-to-back. And I think we both sort of felt like after Dez, George took him with the seventh pick of round two. Now we've got Hopkins, Cooper, who you took, the two Saints guys, Allen Robinson. You also took Keenan Allen in round three. You went Le'Veon Bell, Amari Cooper, Keenan Allen with your first three picks. And Alshon Jeffrey went in round three. And these are good wide receivers with really good potential, but last year at this time, we were doing these drafts, and Demaryius Thomas was like a mid-third-round pick, and Sammy Watkins before the injury was right there too. And I really felt like there were 16, 17 or so wide receivers that I felt really good about.
And then
all the way into
half of them were
late
bad.
Round three.
But you know why that is.
Why?
It's because wide receivers were so incredible the year before, and we got a little bit out over our skis about how predictable
they are. I think it's less that and more that running back was especially bad last year.
That's true. But you had a lot of guys who were getting a lot of targets, had a lot of production, and it made sense. This year, it's like you get to the end of round two, and now it's like, oh, these guys have a lot of potential, but they could be boom or bust. That was my interpretation of wide receiver.
Yeah, and that's almost like the top three guys, Le'Veon, David Johnson, and Ezekiel Elliott, are going to go 1-3 pretty much universally. I'm not 100% sure I want to be in that top three because I kind of want to get Odell Beckham or Antonio Brown, and I'm sitting at number three overall, and I can't pass up on one of those running backs, but these are all guys who are coming off massive workloads.
I think there's a chance that Brown goes ahead of some of those running backs in some leagues.
In PPR, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, in PPR, I think almost for sure.
I mean, his yards per game dropped by 30 this year, right?
In PPR, Bell and Johnson were catching so many passes. Maybe right. he goes ahead of Zeke. Dave, I want to talk more broadly here. I noticed that the running backs that... Because I took Mark Ingram in round 3 with the second pick, and I started my team with... the guy who was all about the wide receivers early last year. I started my team with 2 running backs and a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that the running backs in rounds 4 through 6 were actually pretty good. Really interesting. Like Rob Kelly went in round 5.
Right. You know, it's funny. I thought the round 4 running backs were gross. But the round 5 and 6 running backs were much better values.
All right. So we had Tevin Coleman. Yeah, that's a
bleach. I just think it's too soon for Tevin Coleman in round 4 knowing that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Devontae Freeman's not going anywhere.
Sure.
Like, why are you taking...
Because
back
in this situation, he just finished as the number 2 running back.
Yeah, no,
too
but
soon.
You're right.
Still too
it's
soon.
Too soon. Bilal Powell was interesting. Latavius Murray, Jamal Charles, Eddie Lacy, Thomas Rawls. They went round 4.
I mean,
4.
Which one of those running backs do you feel good about taking with a top 50 pick?
So far, it sounds like Tevin Coleman went in the right spot.
Powell.
Because I like him better than all
those. I don't know if Powell's going to be
there.
Well,
that's the thing. We like him more than those guys.
We did this draft.
Not Latavius. More than others. I don't know that... Rawls has a job.
I like Powell much more. Look, we did this draft.
Know.
We did this draft. You can't just say, "Well, the Jets are going to add this and do that."
Sure.
Like, you got to sort of take where we're at right now in January. And Powell, if he's a starting running back, he's much more valuable than Tevin Coleman. No, and they went back to back.
Yes, if he is the starting running back for the Jets next year, he's more valuable than Tevin Coleman. I just don't think that that's going to happen.
Right.
It took how many weeks for him to become the starting running back with the Jets this year?
He did really well.
They liked him so much, they signed Matt Forte to a contract first this offseason. Then a day later, they brought back
Powell. Chris Ivory before him.
Yeah, they haven't believed in him, but maybe they should.
Maybe they should. But I like the running backs in round 5 better.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Maybe even round 6. So Rob Kelly went in round 5. I think he's got potential to be better than the guys we just named.
And that was what I was going to say. I took Golden Tate in round 5 as my number 2 receiver. If I had known I could have gotten Rob Kelly, I wouldn't have taken Ingram in round 3. I would have taken
a better
Michael Thomas
there.
In round 3 and Rob Kelly in round 5.
Yeah, part of it is like getting one of those top 3 wide running backs, though, really helps because in the first 5 rounds, you've already got 2 backup running backs taken.
Tevin Coleman and who?
And Derrick Henry.
Yeah, Derrick Henry went in round 5, which I was stunned by. As the guy that took DeMarco Murray. I was fully prepared to commit the round 6 pick to Henry.
Okay.
I was floored that he went, Jesus, what was it? 48, 49,
and,
59,
you know, Spencer Ware.
54th overall.
It's not guaranteed that Spencer Ware has a job. It's not
I thought that was
Jared
a strange
McKinnon
pick.
McKinnon has a job.
Dixon was a good pick.
I thought Dixon was a good pick. And McKinnon, if we're going to forecast like we are with Bilal Powell and Spencer Ware, then I think there's a chance McKinnon could be the guy that's the lead back for Minnesota. I don't think he'll be the every down guy.
Yeah.
But I think he's got a shot at 1,200 total yards, maybe even a little more.
I do want to go back real quick to Latavius Murray being included in that group with those round 4 running backs.
We don't know if he has a job. We don't like he.
We said the same thing going into last year.
Sure, but like he's actually a free agent this year. They like the 2 guys behind him.
Yeah,
but you think that was a good pick, Murray?
I'm not saying it was a bad pick.
Like if he's a starting running back, he should be getting the Jordy Nelson. Why do we disrespect this guy?
I agree, except he's. He's not nearly as productive at his position as
Well, he's being drafted Nelson. 2.5 rounds later.
If he's a starting running back for the Raiders, then yeah, he's a good value there in round 4. We've sort of skipped around. I'm not going to read all the picks. I'll give some themes, though. Tight ends started coming off the board. There was, I thought, pretty good tight end value, but Kelsey went to Dave with the ninth pick of round 3, and Jordan Reed went to Nick Kostos 3 picks later. So we have 2 tight ends. Kelsey, Gronkowski obviously in round 1. Kelsey in round 3, that would be what, 32nd overall? And then Jordan Reed 36th overall. So Kelsey was 33rd, Jordan Reed was 36th overall. And then, excuse me, we didn't have another tight end come off the board until I thought a really good pick. Greg Olsen went with the last pick of round 6.
Yeah.
3 rounds later than Reed. We had some really good tight end value after that. Starting in the end of round 6, beginning of round 7 with Olsen and Delanie Walker. But you pulled the trigger on Travis Kelce, Dave.
He's my number 1 tight end right now.
Okay.
Got to take him ahead of Gronk at this point because we don't know what Gronk's situation is going to be like. And I really think the Chiefs finally took the chains off him late this season. And I'm hoping that continues into the postseason.
You're going to see the results of this draft on online, and we can talk more
about... It's already up.
Oh, it is. Yeah, okay. It's up. We can talk more about pick by pick, but thematically, and sorry, Heath, I know you weren't part of the draft. I don't know if you've seen anything that you want that stands out to you, but lessons that you learned in doing this draft as we evaluate the player pool for 2017. Dave, anything that stood out to you?
I can't wait for Leonard Fournette, Dalvin Cook, and these rookie running backs to get involved in the process. And maybe a couple other running backs via free agency getting attention and becoming relevant in fantasy. These are always very, very difficult mocks to draw conclusions from because there's a million things that are going to change between now and then.
Did Tyreek Hill go around where you guys thought he would? He was 62 overall, second pick of round six.
That's kind of early.
I expect him to be round seven.
Yep. I think it's a little too early.
He went ahead of Moncrief. He went ahead of Edelman, Brandon Marshall.
I think him ahead of Moncrief makes perfect sense.
Sure.
Because one guy is slow and steady and 9 points a week, 10 points Moncrief a week, and just, the other guy can, you know, win you a league.
Yeah, I just
win you a week, I should
I'm
say.
Not sure what the upside Moncrief has at this point is. He's going into year four. He's got, I think, four games with more than 70 yards in his entire career.
Mm-hmm. He is Andrew Luck's preferred red zone guy.
Sure.
That's his upside.
They're best buddies in the red zone.
Yeah, they love each other. I took Martavis Bryant in the seventh round.
Seems early.
I kept asking Jamie, is round five too early? Is round six too early? He said yes, and then I was like, screw it. I'm taking him in round seven.
That was
because true. I didn't take a wide receiver until round four.
What team is he on?
Pittsburgh.
Hopefully.
No?
For now.
I took a wide receiver, Michael Crabtree and Golden Tate are my starting wide receivers, rounds four and five. So I said to myself, I need to swing for the fences here. I need a home run pick, and Bryant, I think, has more talent than anyone who was drafted after him. But, yeah, I know, it was risky. And then Chris took Ty Montgomery, one pick after.
Yeah, I don't love taking two of the first 75 picks on Green Bay Packers running backs.
Oh, you took Lacy?
Yeah.
Well, again, what team is Lacy on?
Yeah, that's which team is Lacy on is kind of the question. But I would assume he'll be a starter next year. I thought he looked good this year before he went down with the injury.
You think he has a better chance of being a starter than Latavius?
That's tough. It's all about perception.
Or
Latavius
power.
Murray was less perceived as less valuable in the draft. He struggled to really get a full grip on the starting job on his own team. Whereas Eddie Lacy, you know, for all the criticism, was the unquestioned starter there before he went down.
He was this year. Last year he lost the job.
Sure. I would imagine Eddie Lacy has more perceived value, but that's a guess.
And I wonder, what's our projection on Eddie Lacy's conditioning right now?
His NFL stock could be in a total free fall, Chris.
Sure.
I'm not sure he's going to land in a place where a team will be patient enough with his weight.
Sure.
His conditioning in general. I think we've seen some really good games from Eddie Lacy over the course of his career, and what he can do as a physical inside runner. He's going to be one of those guys that you're just going to have to wait until the preseason and see it to believe it. And until then, you're drafting him based on the hope that he recovers his form figuratively and literally from 2014.
He's going to get a one-year prove-it deal.
He's going to have to. And it wouldn't be stunning if the Packers gave him the one-year prove-it deal.
What about Jamal Charles? He was also a round four pick.
He was round five.
I don't know if he plays again.
He was round four.
There's a chance he never plays again, yeah.
Like, I was stunned where Charles went and where Adrian Peterson went. Stunned.
Peterson went round three?
Yeah.
Right after C.J. Anderson. I mean, look,
Anderson, I can understand. Yeah. He can Anderson, heal up. He's going to play.
And
he's
Anderson's
got a shot.
Probably got his job back,
listen,
I don't think.
Look at these running backs. In the round three, there's one that stands out to me as like an amazing pick. Mark Ingram, I thought was a good pick by me. And then C.J. Anderson, Adrian Peterson, Carlos Hyde. Yes.
I think Hyde was an amazing
pick. A great pick. It's one of the best picks. I mean, it's only the middle of round three, but that's a great pick considering who went ahead of him.
As it stands right now, he's going to be one of those running backs that you'll look at when the best of the best are off the board and you go, okay, I'll settle for him.
How do you take Todd Gurley ahead of Carlos Hyde?
I don't think you can. And I don't know if you can take Ajayi ahead of Hyde either.
That was my next
question. They
should
be in the same range. The other thing is, like, we talk about how there's just not enough running backs. This will solidify by the time we're actually drafting real teams.
Yeah.
And we'll know who starters are in positions.
Because
stuff like
and
that.
And as much as we'll say Fournette and Cook, there's going to be more than just Fournette and Cook.
Christian McCaffrey.
Draft, maybe.
Yes. He's awesome.
He could be a utility player a little
back.
Bit.
We'll see where
he
gets
drafted.
A lot more
than just running back.
Yeah, I hope they don't like McCluster him. You know.
I think he may be Tyreek Hill.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I joked this I think on Sunday that we're going to talk ourselves into Michael Floyd again. And he went in the middle of round 7. I don't know if that's
also fairly ridiculous.
Yeah. But
well, I don't know if Martavis Bryant's going there.
We're
the well, if Floyd's on the Patriots, but Floyd's a free agent.
Yeah, I don't even care if he's on the Patriots, to be honest. Like I
do.
He's been so inconsistent. At what point do we just like at what point do we stop caring about the word potential? I think year 5. Right? Like that's
I think
pretty
it's
good...
got to be even sooner than that. But
he has put it together. That's the thing. Like at the end of last year, the second half of last year, Michael
right,
Floyd was
that made
really
you think,
good.
Right. And it made you think that
and
he'd
then
come
he
back this year and be
and
great
then he had
and
this
he's
season.
All on his face.
Yeah.
And then he 217 to
I will if we want to make a wager, I think I'd take Michael Floyd over Martavis Bryant in fantasy points.
Well, they both
per game?
Have a suspension
there's
to start
game? There's a chance that Michael Floyd gets one and wins.
I didn't draft Martavis Bryant to be my starter. He's a bench player.
Well, no, whoever drafted Michael Floyd in the 7th just drafted him as a bench player.
Yeah, but at that point, you're looking at per game production. You're not looking at total points because you're sitting them for the
like, and there's a lot of things. There's a lot of situations where guys finish the season strong or they're buzzy and we'll kind of forget about them. You know, Tyreek Hill's kind of in that. Round 8, Taylor Gabriel and J.J. Nelson went. I think both of those guys are probably going to fall off as we move further away from the season. There's just some guys that have a little buzz around.
Nelson, Jamie took him in the middle of round 8, which I thought was pretty interesting because he could be the number one wide receiver for
yeah,
Arizona.
I thought that was a good pick.
Yeah, I don't see what's wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't think he's very good.
I think he's pretty good. I think he's just a big play guy, you know?
But, maybe. And it's just I don't think it's a great situation. Like is a 39-year-old Carson Palmer going to be the quarterback? Is it going to be someone else?
But if he's the number one guy, I wouldn't expect J.J. Nelson to be the number one guy. If Fitzgerald does not come back, I think they have to do either way. They have to do something at wide receiver.
If we're talking about him as the number one target in the offense, it just doesn't seem likely because you look at him, he's so slight,
right?
But he's also very fast.
Yeah,
and he got a lot of volume for whatever that's worth. That. I think that's worth something. I don't know if he's going to end up. I don't know if he can hold up on 16 games, 80%+ of the snaps every game, and 7 targets a game. I think eventually defenses are going to learn to try
and defenses will
try to jam him at the line, and the Cardinals are going to work to try and get him free releases off the snap. Because that's where he's going to be most effective.
He basically had like 2 good stretches of 2 games apiece. He scored a lot towards the end of the season, but it was a lot of like he had one 42-yard game with 1 catch. He had one 8-yard game where he scored a long touchdown on a run. It just
look the production wasn't,
the
8th wasn't
round's
there,
not terrible
but,
though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, come on. So Scott, let's Scott White. Let's look at his.
He went a full round and a half ahead of Adam Thielen.
White took, by the way. Scott took 5 running backs with his first 5 picks.
Yeah.
Standard scoring league. It might work because he got Tom Brady at quarterback and Colin Kaepernick to back him up. Jordan Howard, Melvin Gordon, Isaiah Crowell, Bilal Powell, LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount was his 3rd round pick. May not be on the Patriots next year, so that might not be.
Crowell was the 5th round pick?
Yeah.
See, that's.
I think
like,
so.
I don't right, mind guys? Any of those values at all. But it's not worth it.
That's what he said, was that it was just every time he came up to pick.
I agree with that if they like are glaring values. But by the time
you draft
5
running backs, how many of them do you think are going to pan out?
You're hoping 3.
Then you've got your 2 running backs and a flex, and you try to figure out the rest of the way. So he's got Brady, Howard, Gordon, Blount, Powell, Crowell, DeSean Jackson, Adam Thielen. Jimmy Graham, Will Lutz, and the Vikings. DeSean Jackson and Adam Thielen obviously sticks out like a sore thumb. He also has Macklin, Randall Cobb, and Kenny Stills. What do you think?
Can the Packers get out of Randall Cobb's contract?
I'll look it up.
Because he's like the 6th or 7th highest paid wide receiver next year, and was a complete non-factor. You're banking on a big bounce back from him after two bad seasons.
I feel like Scott could be okay with this team. You know, Jackson and Thielen is not a winning combination of receiver necessarily, but maybe a guy he picks up off waivers and those guys gets him there with these running backs. In PPR, he never would have done this. But in standard scoring, make some trades. I don't know. It's interesting. I think the fact that he got Brady, did he take Brady in round six? Where did Brady go?
Brady went in round six, one pick before Matt Ryan, which is who I took in round six.
So he didn't even take a wide receiver in round six. Which wide receivers were on the board when he took Brady or went right after Brady?
The ones that went right after are Dante Moncrief, Brandon Marshall, Terrell Pryor, Julian Edelman, Sterling Shepard. So no sure things.
So he went with DeSean Jackson and Tom Brady instead of one of those guys. And
Yeah,
interesting. Any final thoughts on this draft?
I found our draft from this time last year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the early draft we did.
Todd Gurley, number one.
He actually was not number one.
Oh.
Antonio Brown was number one. Gurley was number two. Gronk, number three. Le'Veon, four.
That was a Brinson pick, I think.
What?
Gronk.
Nope. Brinson took Antonio Brown. It was a Ryan Bass pick of Gronk at number three. I took Le'Veon, four. Chris took Odell Beckham at five. Nick Casos took Julio at six. Marone took Adrian Peterson at seven. Joe Pulido, DeAndre Hopkins at eight. Jamie took Dez at nine. Heath took David Johnson at 10. Nice pick.
Nice.
Heath.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
You killed it, you guys.
Matthew Koka took Jamal Charles in pick 11. And Adam Azer, with his first pick in the first round, last pick, I guess some things just don't ever change. Jordy Nelson.
I'm going to pull a Chip Kelly and say that I wanted to take David Johnson with that pick, but my GM overruled me.
The one interesting thing is we had rookies in this draft last year.
We did.
Would you like to know where they went? Because I think this is funny.
But I would also like to point out that first round that we did in January was pretty similar to a first round that would have been taken in August.
I mean, I think what I'm going to do is tweet out obviously the results of the one we just did for 2017, but also this one along with it, because I think it's interesting how things shook out. Ezekiel Elliott was a fourth round pick drafted by Heath Cummings.
Dude, David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott.
It's really too bad that I wasn't in the draft you guys just did.
I don't care what anyone says about you, Heath.
That was a great draft. I dominated that draft.
Awesome. Yeah, Heath really did have a great draft. Round two, he had AJ Green. Round three, DeMarco Murray. And this is after Murray was a nightmare in Philadelphia.
Look at that. Oh. This is a winner.
So Heath is the master.
You won a league.
My draft was bad. It's like Doug Martin in the second, Sammy Watkins in the third, and Lamar Miller in the fourth.
Okay, Derrick Henry.
And Allen Hurns in the fifth.
Derrick Henry went round five, so second year in a row in the earliest mock draft where Derrick Henry went. And this year we know where he is. Last year, no excuse.
DeMarco Murray was not on the Titans at that point?
No, at that point he was simply rookie. Derrick Henry,
Murray.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. DeMarco was on Philadelphia at the time. Heath's streak of great picks ended in round six when he took Laquon Treadwell. Or round five, rather.
Okay.
When he took Laquon Treadwell then.
And Marshawn Lynch in round four.
Well, YOLO, you know?
YOLO.
I didn't really need him at that point.
Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman went in round seven.
Trying to give you the chance.
Michael Thomas, round seven. Two. Matthew Koka. Not to Heath Cummings. Heath took Travis Kelce in round seven instead.
Great pick.
Buck Allen went in round eight. Guess who took him?
Me.
Nope.
You?
Nope.
Me?
Yep.
Good pick.
There's some fun names here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Next rookie, Carlos Williams went in round nine. With a K. Remember him before he got fat.
Yeah. I'm going to read some emails now, Dave.
All right. I'll see if I can find another couple. Braxton Miller, round 11. Two, Nick. Devontae Booker, round 11. To Matthew Koka. And Hunter Henry was taken by Nick in round 12. I think we've kind of played this out.
All right. So here's the deal.
I don't think anybody took Jordan Howard.
I did not do what I usually do with the emails because I'm using a different computer and I'm adjusting to life with a Mac, which is challenging adjustment here.
I think maybe we should not skip emails and just talk about your lack of adjustment to
Adam,
a Mac.
It just works.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to sort through these emails. This is Dove from an East African country. How's your geography?
Of East Africa?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Ethiopia, I think, is East African.
He says, hey, Ross, James, Gareth, and Idrissa. These are Everton FC midfielders.
Well, okay. I mean, who didn't know?
Right. It's my team.
Every year I enter a playoff fantasy football competition with my dad and 30 of his college buddies, and I'm only 15 years old. Everyone puts in $150, so there are pretty big stakes. Every round of the playoffs.
Hold on a second. Did you have $150 to just toss into a fantasy league when you were 15?
I certainly did not.
Wow.
I don't even have that now. Every round of the playoffs, you set your lineup, but the big catch is that once you use a player, you cannot use him again. Taking this into account, what strategy would you take, and what would be the best possible lineup for the wild card round, keeping in mind the format? It's half point PPR, 4 points per passing touchdown.
This was built for using the Giants.
Because you think they're
in the
gonna
first
lose.
Round.
No, I see. I think I interpret it as slightly different than the old playoff challenge we had. You set a lineup every week,
and you can pick whoever you want,
but you can't reuse players. So you ideally want players who are going to lose and put up fantasy points, right?
Yeah. All of a sudden, we're thinking the Giants are going to win.
I thought you guys were saying that.
I said that.
I think there's a chance they can win. I agree with you. I think they're going to have to put up points.
This is for the Giants.
No, I think the road team that wins this weekend is Oakland. I think I'm going to settle on that.
And I would go with I like Jarvis Landry a little more.
Yeah.
Kenny Stills.
Kenny Stills.
I think Golden Tate is fine, personally.
Yeah.
But what was I going to say?
I would be pretty stunned if Detroit wins.
I would not be shocked.
Yeah,
I would
stunned.
Not.
Because Detroit's
Seattle's offense is out of sorts. They can't run the ball. You already highlighted what's wrong with their secondary.
Detroit's awful. Yeah. And they're not awful, but in the NFC playoffs,
the spread is like
awful.
8 points or something like that. I think that's an easy team to take with points. Easy.
Interesting. Sure.
I think they have a chance to win, too.
I made three small wagers last night. I bet $10 on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. To win $60, $10 on the Giants to win $160, and $5 on the Seahawks to what were they? They were pretty big. They were like plus +800 or more.
You could have just put $25 on the Patriots to win the Super Bowl, and
they were like money. Plus +125 or something.
Right, so at least you would have made something. Instead, you just flushed.
I'm just an NFC fan.
Like how
not
do you,
the Cowboys?
How in the world you've got to subtract the losses from the win if you pick the right NFC team?
It's a total of $25. So the least I'm going to win is 60 total. So
well, at
40,
least you're
going to 35 net.
Negative 25.
Yeah.
Don't bet on
which
football.
Will probably happen.
Don't bet on football.
Tom Robinson from Jersey Channel Islands. Dear Kabir, Reggie, and Clay. Packers sack leaders.
Oh.
I knew where Kabir came from. I just Clay. Yeah. Well, Clay. Bill Clay.
Is there... See, I don't even think this is a question. I think this is just a thank you.
You're welcome.
Read it.
I wanted to thank you all for your advice and opinion throughout the season. I do a lot of leagues for fun. I did rather well, thanks to you. 16 leagues. I won 12.
Jeez.
Came in third in three and fourth in the other. Jeez. As a point for the off-season podcast, I don't see the value in RB1, RB2, RB3, or flex. I look at either the player is a starter or not, and I use the flex as the highest upside play for that week. Does that make sense?
He doesn't want to label somebody. The whole point in labeling a running back as an RB1 or an RB2 is just to give an expectation.
Right. Yeah.
Which, by the way, just speaking of running backs, the average fantasy point totals for RB1 and RB2 this past year up significantly from the year before.
Right.
Because guys stayed healthy.
Shouldn't even compare it to last year.
Because last year,
you should compare it to 2014.
The touchdown percentage league-wide was down, I think, 3 or 4 tenths of a point, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's, you know, a couple dozen touchdowns league-wide. I think it's like 60 touchdowns league-wide.
Owen in a town just south of Richmond, Virginia. Miami?
South Richmond.
South Richmond?
Southwest Richmond.
There you go.
He has three things he'd like to bring up. Team name Tuesday should stay. The team names are mostly terrible, but listening to everyone give Adam a hard time is hilarious. The Bonanza should stay, and as long as it does, I fully intend to put together some way to measure the success rate and keep you guys posted. And Die Hard is not a Christmas movie, but you guys should be given credit for bringing this debate to the attention of society.
Are you Owen from Southwest Richmond? Because that sounds like something you would write.
P.S. Please let Adam sing his song.
Yeah, exactly. All right, this is actually a keeper question. Brian in Central USA. Real America, Heath, where?
Real America.
I got this one.
Springfield, Missouri.
Boise, Idaho.
That's not central.
I was going to say Little Havana, Florida.
Dear Jordy, Devontae, Randall, and Geronimo.
Those would be Packers receivers.
Two-round penalty.
Geronimo Allison, by the way, deep sleeper in Daily Fantasy this week. We should have brought him up.
Two-round penalty each year the player is kept with no limit on years kept until they reach a second or first-round pick. Example, Ajayi was drafted in the eighth round. I can keep him in the sixth round, then the fourth, then the second. Standard scoring league, I can keep four of the following. Jay Ajayi in the sixth. Latavius Murray in the ninth. Jordy Nelson in the tenth.
There's one. Yep.
Thomas Rawls in the 11th. Bilal Powell in the 13th. Ty Montgomery, 13th. Tyreek Hill, 13th. Terrell Pryor, 13th. And if you keep players in the same round, it requires the loss of the next earliest available
player. Sounds just like my keeper league. It's a great league.
All right, so we need four. We need three after Jordy Nelson. We have Ajayi in the 6th, Latavius in the 9th, Rawls 11th, Powell, Montgomery, Tyreek Hill, Terrell Pryor, all 13th round.
I think I would go with Jordy, Ajayi, Hill, and Pryor and take the values of those two guys.
Is there a chance Ty Montgomery is going to be the starting running back for the Packers next year? Because at 13th round,
well, sure,
it's a no-brainer.
If that ends up coming to pass.
Well, if Latavius is the starting running back, then he's a no-brainer.
In the ninth.
Yeah.
That's true. Also.
Yeah, I was thinking Hill, Jordy, Ajayi, and Latavius.
Okay.
So you're taking Hill over Pell.
You're taking Hill over Pryor as well.
Yes.
Like, I think there's room for Pryor.
Where's the Tyreek Hill guy?
I'm the Tyreek Hill guy. And in the 13th round, yeah.
Last question, another keeper question from Matt in Manitowoc, Wisconsin?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Keeper question. 8 teams, 2 quarterbacks, 6 point per passing touchdown PPR. I can only keep a player for 1 year. I guess he only needs one keeper. David Johnson, round one, eighth overall.
David Johnson.
There you go.
Julio Jones, Odell Beckham, all round one. It's a 2 quarterback league. Roethlisberger in round 3. Drew Brees in round 4. DeMarco Murray in round 7.
David Johnson.
David Johnson.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
because I think Drew Brees in round 4 is a 2 quarterback league.
Is David Johnson going to be fully healthy for week 1?
Like, because Drew Brees and, like, yeah, Drew Brees, he's, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
He has what? He has a sprained MCL.
He's the same thing that.
He's had 6 months.
He's got the same injury as Carlos Hyde. And both are going to be.
He's never had a problem.
His was a foot. I think David Johnson, even in the first round, like, it's not a value,
Is this a league, and we're not going to be able to answer this because we're not in the league, but is this a league where quarterbacks go early? And my guess is that it's not because he can keep Drew Brees for a fourth. And if there's only 8 teams.
So that's 25th overall, by the way, that fourth round pick.
Right.
Because it's an 18.
So I'm thinking he can still find some nice quarterbacks. We just did a mock draft that highlighted the difference between the best 3 running backs in fantasy and every other running back. So I'm with the guys.
And you look at
me too.
The quarterback crop. Matt Ryan was a 10th, 12th, 13th rounder last year if he got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's a 6th rounder. 1 year changed that. I got Phillip Rivers in the 13th round of our draft. It just, you can always find quarterbacks.
I did want to brag for a second about my greatest accomplishment.
All right, we got to go. So
my trip back to Missouri.
Why was it so great?
We had our annual league rules meeting for my home league.
Oh, I know. I saw the tweet. Congratulations.
And I got rid of kickers.
Good job.
15 years, and they're gone.
Not really sure your vendetta against these guys.
I dislike it.
Yeah. All right.
I'm so happy.
I dislike it.
Thanks for listening to today's show. We are done. And I forgot to respond to Nick Costos, who has to do with the Roughing the Passer podcast, which you should all listen to if you want to get some awesome picks. He said, Adam, what time are you going to be done with the podcast? And I never responded, so that is my bad.
11:45.
11:45 is the answer. For Chris and Heath, I'm Adam. Oh, and Dave.
Don't forget me.
Chris, Heath, and Dave, sure. I'm Adam. Talk to you next week.